the supplication on Wednesdays. In the name of Allah, the All-Merciful, the All-Compassionate. Praise belongs to Allah, who appointed the night to be a garment, and sleep for a rest, and day he appointed for a rising. To thee belongs praise, for thou roused me from my sleep. And hadst thou willed, thou wouldst have made it everlasting, an everlasting praise that will never be cut off, and whose number the creatures will never count. O Allah, to thee belongs praise, for thou created, then proportioned, and ordained and decreed, and gave death and bestowed life, and made sick and healed, and made well and afflicted, and sat upon the throne and encompassed the kingdom. I supplicate thee with the supplication of one whose mediation is weak, whose stratagems have been cut off, whose term has drawn near, whose expectation from this world has shrunk, whose neediness for thy mercy has intensified, whose remorse for his neglect has become great, whose slips and stumbles have become many, and whose repentance is devoted sincerely to thy face. So bless Muhammad, the seal of the prophets, and his household, the good, the pure, and provide me with the intercessions of Muhammad, Allah bless him and his household, and deprive me not of his companionship. Surely thou art the most merciful of the merciful. O Allah, decree for me on Wednesday four things. Induce me to be strong in obedience to thee, to be joyful in worshipping thee, to be desirous of thy reward, and to abstain from that which would make incumbent upon me thy painful punishment. Thou art gentle to whom thou wilt.
Today's special.
Assalamu alaikum.
It's special for you. We present to you today. In the name of Allah, the Light, the Nur, salam and salutations be upon all our dear listeners. Thank you very much for joining us, and please welcome to this episode of today's special from IRIB English Radio on a special occasion. Today is the beginning of the Week of Unity, so please accept our congratulations on this special week.
ربنا عليك قدرا يا إمام
today. Tuesday is the 12th of Rabiul Awwal, 1443 of the Islamic Lunar Hijri calendar, corresponding to the 27th of May, 1400 of the Islamic Solar Hijri calendar, and the 19th of October, 2021 of the Christian Gregorian calendar. Thousands of greetings, happiness, and congratulations to all brothers and sisters on the Week of Unity. We open the Holy Quran and we bless this moment of today's special by recitation of chapter Al-Imran, verse 64.
A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim. قُلْ يَا أَهْلَ الْكِتَابِ تَعَالَوْا إِلَى كَلِمَةٍ سَوَاءٍ بَيْنَنَا وَبَيْنَكُمْ أَلَّا نَعْبُدَ إِلَّا اللَّهَ ألا نعبد إلا الله ولا نشرك به شيئا ولا يتخذ بعضنا بعضا أربابا من دون الله فإن تولوا فقولوا اشهدوا بأننا مسلمون.
Say, O people of the scripture, come to a word that is equitable between us and you, that we will not worship except Allah, and not associate anything with Him, and not take one another as lords instead of Allah. But if they turn away, then say, bear witness that we are Muslims, submitting to Him.
La ilaha illallah, la ilaha.
Bless your day with contemplation on the verses of the Holy Quran.
This ayah introduces monotheism as the source of unity and solidarity among various religions and calls on them to unify with each other and set up a safe community far from oppression and transgression. Undoubtedly, Muslims as the initial nucleus of this convergence can play an important role. When members of the society give up differences and their hearts become close to each other, the enemy cannot harm them.
Sallallahu ala Taha, khayri la khalqi wa ahlaha. Sallallahu ala Taha.
Our topic is about unity, unity in diversity. This is today's special from IRIB English Radio on the Week of Unity. Mankind was one nation believing in Tawheed, monotheism. Then they differed. Some of them believed and some disbelieved. So Allah sent the prophets with glad tidings and warnings. So whoever believes will enter paradise and whoever disbelieves will enter hell. The conflict is still going on between belief and disbelief, truth and falsehood, and will continue until Allah inherits the earth and everyone on it. Islam is the religion for all of mankind. The Allah has commanded us to convey it to all people. This can only be achieved if we are strong, and strength is based on faith and unity. Hence Allah, subhanahu wa ta'ala, had commanded all the believers to adhere to his religion and to be united and not to be divided. Dear listeners of today's special, congratulations. Congratulations on the Week of Unity.
Dr. Fakhr Rohani.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim wa bi nasta'in. And another one is we have to put aside, we have to ignore the major differences among Muslims. Yet there's another aspect, and that is having and sensing integration against our enemies. Because when the when an enemy comes, okay, it doesn't ask whether you are a Shia or Sunni. We find that in the major oppressions inflicted against Muslims in Muslim lands, both Sunnis and Shias and followers of other other denominations, all of them have been targeted by the enemies of the Islamic religion. And we find that in this connection, no enemy asks Muslims whether they are Sunni or Shias. Imagine that, for example, nowadays in Palestine, we find that Israelis, I mean, Zionists, oppose Palestinians, a great majority of whom are Sunnis, and at the same time, the same Zionists attack the Lebanese people, a great majority of whom are Shias. At the same time, we find that because of this, necessity, which is felt to be a much-needed principle and much-needed stratagem, unity and integration is first and foremost an Islamic and Quranic principle, and this is a major principle for the victory of Muslims and the voice of Muslims, and this is a religious, intellectual, and a sacred mission entrusted to each and every Muslim, and it paves the ground for doing major jobs, major good jobs for public welfare.
Special topics for a special program. You can listen today, now and here, IRIB English Radio.
May this moment last forever in your hearts, a day you'll always remember every part.
Today's a special.
This feeling of love, just let it grow forever through your life. Bring beautiful years of joy between you till the end of time.
Internal and external obstacles to Muslim unity is the title of this part. There is the internal obstacles that is the result of denominational bias. This bias affects all groups of people. We must overcome this bias. Having faith in one's creed is laudable. It is also good to insist on these creeds, but this faith must not cross the line between logical argumentation and aggression and aggressive rejection of others' beliefs. Our brothers who are part of the Muslim Ummah must treat each other with respect. They have a right to adhere to their own beliefs, but they must respect others, their rights, and their beliefs. Muslims must leave ideological debates to scholarly meetings. Ulama and scholars may engage in religious debates, but there is a difference between religious debates at scholarly meetings and an exchange of insult in public and in front of an audience who are not capable of a scholarly analysis.
We're selfish, you know. We want the best for us, for our people, for our community, for our families, for our friends. We don't like to share the blessings of life with other people. But this is the battle of the nafs. This is the struggle that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us to go through in order for us to elevate ourselves, in order for us to achieve His satisfaction. And this is extremely important for us to keep in mind, respected brothers and sisters. I request that each one of you, this day, make a vow that from now, and this is the action plan, from now till next year, I will introduce myself to 5 new friends from different backgrounds, communities, and races. Can you do that? Can you find a friend from a different background and treat this friend better than like your own family members? Can you? It is our faith, respected brothers and sisters, that makes us accepting of other people. This is the diversity that we see in the religion of Islam. This is the unity that we see in the religion of Islam. So I would like to request from you, and Allah will give you so many blessings if you do this, from now till next year, befriend 5 people who are different than you. But remember, go after the faithful ones, of course, because associating with people who don't have faith, people who are corrupt, people who are lost in this life, you know, that will negatively impact you. Unless you want to guide them, of course. Reach out to them and guide them. That's a different story. But I want you to make it a plan and goal for yourself. From now till next year, 5 new friends. And you won't believe how enriching this experience will be for you. Because when you get exposed, you know, to different types of people from different backgrounds, you learn. The Quran says Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made you into nations and tribes. God has made you different so you can come to know one another. So you learn from each other's experiences. If you're always associating with people who are exactly like you, they think like you, they come from the same background as you, what have you got to learn, really? Not much. It's when you associate with people of other backgrounds that you come to learn from their experiences. And that makes your life so much more enriching. So let's take these wonderful lessons from the Imam alayhi salam. And the Imam alayhi salam teaches us one golden lesson, is that the most important factor that unites us, yes, it's our faith, but the most important factor that can unite humanity is oppression, that we repel oppression.
Dear brothers and sisters, at the beginning of the Week of Unity, please accept our congratulations from IRIB English Radio. Till another program of today's special, Fi Amanillah.
Mustafa, anta al-Nabiyul Amin, wa Sayyidul Mursaleen, rahmatan lil'alamin. جئت بالحق اليقين أنت النبي الأمين وسيد المرسلين رحمة للعالمين جئت بالحق اليقين
Food for thought.
Salam, dear listeners. On the occasion of Islamic Unity Week that spans the 2 dates of Rabiul Awwal, that is 12 and 17, which are marked respectively as the birthday of the seal of messengers, Prophet Muhammad, blessings of God upon him and his progeny, we present you a statement from our beloved Prophet, which is so essential for unity and solidarity of the Ummah. Regard my Ahlul Bayt as the head is to the body and the eyes are to the head, because the body would not be guided except by the head, and the head cannot be guided except by the eyes.
Join us in this journey, IRIB English Radio.
please log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
A'udhu billahi min ash-shaytani rajim. Bismillahi ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa sallallahu ala sayyidina wa nabiyyina wa maulana Abil Qasim al-Mustafa Muhammad wa ala ahli baytihi at-tayyibin at-tahirin al-ma'asumin. Assalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, dear listeners. Welcome to another episode of Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio. First and foremost, we would like to congratulate the Muslim Ummah and especially those brothers and sisters who, according to certain historical events, believe that today is the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam. Majority of people who believe that today is the birth of the Holy Prophet are from our Sunni brothers and sisters. And because of this, from today until, for example, when the majority of Shia believe that it is the birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa alayhi wa sallam, the esteemed mystic of our time, Imam al-Khomeini rahmatullah alayhi, classified this week as the week of unity. So we send our congratulations and our felicitations to the Imam of the time, Imam al-Sahib al-Asri wa al-Zaman, regardless, and to all the Muslims throughout the world, and to all of mankind throughout the world, for this is the birth of the manifestation of the greatest creation and the greatest individual, the greatest manifestation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this physical realm. So this being the birth or the reported birth of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is a very beautiful tradition from the Holy Prophet himself. And the hadith pinpoints a very important aspect of what we as Muslims should actually be doing. And it is something that, you know, it is not difficult to do. And that's why the Holy Prophet says that the weakest of individuals is the one, you know, who cannot, for example, pick up 100 kilograms. No, this is not the weakest of individuals. The weakest of individuals is a person who has the ability to do something that he needs nobody else, but yet he cannot do it. That's how weak this person is. He doesn't need anything else in terms of the physicalities of it, but yet he cannot do it. Now what is it? So the tradition states that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported to have said that the weakest of people or the weakest of persons is he or she who is unable, who has the incapacity or the, you know, incapability to do dua, to do supplication. And we know that dua itself doesn't need anything specific. Dua is something that is between you and your Lord. It can be done at any time, in any moment, in every second. It doesn't need you to go to a particular place. It doesn't need you to be in a particular state. That's not saying that there are particular places or particular states that enhance the prayer or enhance the dua. That is not our discussion. The discussion is that a person does not need anything else but his heart and even at times his tongue. Something he doesn't even need that. Him and his thoughts towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A person who cannot connect to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by means of dua, by means of supplication, is surely the weakest of the people. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by the right of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to enable us to be of those who continuously make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Inshallah, until next time. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh.
That was the program Hadith of the Day on IRIB English Radio with Sheikh Yasser Ibrahim, a graduate of Islamic Seminary of Qom.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure. Oh Lord, here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا نصفه
أو انقص منه قليلا أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا
ودعوتك ربي بقرآني جنبني حراني.
Let's recite the Quran.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the name of Allah, the Most Compassionate, the Most Merciful. May the peace and blessings of Allah be upon the soul of Prophet Muhammad and his purified progeny. Dear audience, assalamu alaikum. Welcome to another episode of the program Let's Recite the Quran, coming to you from the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran. I'm your host Mahdi, and we are joined by Quran expert, dear brother Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum, brother.
Wa alaikum assalam, brother Mahdi. Assalamu alaikum to all the dear listeners of this program. I'm really glad to be with you.
Thank you. Well, dear audience, as you may know, this program, Let's Recite the Quran, consists of different Quranic parts. At first, we're going to talk about a famous reciter of the Noble Quran, and then we're going to listen to a recitation by that reciter. After it, Brother Muhammad is going to analyze that recitation, and beside these parts, we're going to have some other interesting Quranic parts. So please stay tuned. Well, today we are going to listen to a recitation by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi. He was born in 1952 in a rural area of Sharqiya Governorate in Egypt and raised in a Quranic family. His father, Muhammad Abul A'la, was the only person in the village who had managed to memorize the entire Noble Quran. Therefore, Muhammad began to memorize the Noble Quran under the guidance of his father. And with the help of Allah, he managed to memorize the entire Noble Quran at the age of 3. Subhanallah. Muhammad's increasing interest in Quran recitation helped him master the techniques of reciting the Noble Quran under the care of his father at the age of 6. He was famous throughout Ash-Sharqiya Governorate by the time he turned 15.
In 1984, he entered Egyptian radio, and then, after gaining more fame, he was selected as the best reciter of a Sharqiya governorate and began to recite in famous mosques of Egypt, such as Masjid al-Imam al-Hussein and Masjid al-Sayyida Zainab. He traveled to many countries, including India, Pakistan, South Africa, Germany, and America, to recite the Noble Quran. He traveled to Islamic Republic of Iran in 2000 along with Sheikh Ahmad Nuaina, and he passed away in 2006. May Allah bless him. Now it's time to listen to the recitation of Surah Ar-Rahman from the very beginning to the end of verse 13, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi. Let's enjoy it.
الشمس والقمر بحسبان والنجم والشجر يسجدان والسماء
Dear audience, you're still listening to the program Let's Recite the Quran from IRIB English Radio. And what you just listened to was recitation of verses 1 to 13 of Surah Ar-Rahman, recited by Sheikh Muhammad Al-Laythi. Now, Brother Muhammad, let's talk about this beautiful recitation.
Sure. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Okay, the first verse of this surah, Ar-Rahman, the Ha, is very important to pay attention to, because Ha has a special characteristic which is called Buha, And it really has to do with the place of articulation of ha, which is the pharynx. And you have to narrow down the pharynx wall in order to pronounce this fricative, this weak fricative. Al-Rahman. Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that the buha is enough. If it's too little, that would be incorrect. If it's too much, that's also incorrect. If you say Al-Rahman, Rahman is too much buha. Al-Rahman. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. If you say Bismillahirrahmanirrahim with too much buha, it gets close to the pronunciation of kha. And we don't want that. That would be incorrect.
And that's the most amount of timing to be produced.
Yes, compared to the other groups of letters, such as shidda and tawassul. Because ha is a letter of rahawa. You spend more time pronouncing the letters of rahawa than pronouncing the letters of shidda and tawassul. And this is because of the nature of these letters.
By letters of shidda, we mean plosives, and by letters of rahawa, we mean weak fricative.
And tawassult, they could be nasal stops, mim and nun. They could be lam, which is called a liquid in phonetics. And ayn. We have ayn and ra. Ayn is also a fricative, but it's not a weak fricative. And the same goes for ra.
And actually, as far as I remember, you said that they make the sentence Lin Omar.
Yes, that's a good way to memorize the letters of tawassul. Okay. The third verse of this surah, we have Khalaqa. Khalaqa. Lam is the only letter in this word which has the characteristic of istifal. And istifal, almost always, you have to pronounce the letters that have this characteristic with tarqiq.
So we have one letter of istifal in between two letters of
isti'la. Yes.
Khalaqa.
Khalaqa. Right? In order to learn how to pronounce this word, you could concentrate on the shape of the lips. When you say kha, your mouth is slightly rounded. Khale. When you want to pronounce le, your mouth lips spread. And again, for qaf, just like the kha, the mouth is rounded. Okay, then we have khalaqal insan. We have ikhfa of nun sakina. Ikhfa means that nun sakina is not pronounced
completely.
It's pronounced partially. And not from its place of articulation. You totally omit the place of articulation of
noon.
Instead, you have to see what the letter of ikhfa after the noon is. Okay? So if it's a scene like in this word, you have to bring the articulators that you use to pronounce scene,
close
which
to
is
each
actually
other.
One articulator, the tongue, close to the place of articulation of scene. Really close, inclined to the place of articulation of scene. And at the same time, you keep it there, and at the same time, you make a nasal sound for two vowel counts, like this. Khalaqal insana, insana. You don't say insana. That would be incorrect. You're doing ilhar of nun sakina. You're pronouncing the nun sakina. And of course, you don't say isan. It's impossible. Yeah, you don't do it along.
It's not along, actually.
I've heard some reciters, they say isan. Again, that's not correct either. We have
they
to have the nasalization. No, they don't apply the ghunna. Isan. You see, if you pinch your nose and say isan, the sound
is completely omitted, actually.
Yeah, the nasal part is omitted.
What remains is the nasal point. What remains is the nasal part, and they omit that part.
Yeah, so you should have the nasal sound of noon.
This is part of the noon.
Yes.
Okay, the partial.
To indicate actually that there was actually a noon here.
Yeah. We have the same thing as khalaqa in qamaru. Qamaru. We have one letter that is pronounced with tarqiq in between two letters that are pronounced with tafkhim.
Thickness.
With thickness. So you have to again do the same thing. Qamaru.
The shape of the lips. Thank you, Brother Muhammad, and thank you, dear audience of IRIB English Radio. That was the final part of the program, Let's Recite the Quran. If you have any comments, questions, or suggestions, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. And don't forget to visit our website, that is parstoday.com. Please click on the tab Call of Islam, and there you can listen to this program as well as other programs of this radio. Until next time, we'll leave you in Allah's care. Have a nice time and goodbye.
ذكر وموعظة ونور فيه شفاء للصدور وشفيعنا يوم النشور آياته تروي المدى وصفاته نبع الهدى نلقى الجنان بحبه لن تستقيم حياة به. هو القرآن والفرقان إليه تنصت الأكوان وفيه تعطر الآذان هو القرآن ضياء يملأ الآفاق ونور يبعث الأشواق وفيه محاسن الأخلاق
Ocean of Dua.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين Hello everyone, brothers and sisters. I am Sayyid Muhammad Hassan Mudarisi with you with another edition of the program, The Ocean of Dua. In this edition of the program, we'll have a glance at Kumail's supplication and we'll discuss a commentary on that. We'll be back in a few seconds, so stay tuned.
اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تنزل البلاء اللهم اغفر لي كل ذنب أذنبته وكل خطيئة أخطأتها اللهم إني أتقرب إليك بذكرك وأستشفع بك إلى نفسك
Brothers and sisters, related to this part of the supplication, where Imam Ali عليه السلام says, اللهم اغفر لي الذنوب التي تحبس الدعاء O Allah, forgive me those sins which hold back supplication. We have counted and discussed many factors that hinder the acceptance of supplications. You may remember we started from the inner sins like bad intention and hidden vices. Some factors like mistrust and being suspicious of the Almighty Allah and His friends. We also discussed the factors like hatred and self-admiration, arrogance, negligence, and stinginess were also discussed. Then, from stinginess on, we talked about different factors related to this material world we're living in. The stinginess itself, which was shortly not donating part of our wealth and giving no charity, greed, which was that intense desire for wealth, cupidity, which was the interest in what people possess, and jealousy. And at last, what we discussed in the previous program was leaving almsgiving, and the wonderful story about Abed, the pious man from the clan of Moses. The last factor that we will discuss in this program about this part of the supplication is speaking rudely. The power of speech, as you all know it, bring about great rewards for one by saying the truth, guiding people towards it, or solving their problems, maybe. However, speech and tongue may also impart illogical and untrue things and commit sins like backbiting, accusations, spreading rumors and saying obscene utterances, and as a result, bring about doomed chastisement for the humans. Muslim notables have said, the tongue's weight is little, but its charge is great. اللسان جرمه صغير وجرمه كبير, as they have said. The Prophet of Islam sallallahu alaihi wasallam has stated, إن أكثر خطايا ابن آدم في لسانه. Most of human faults are surely caused by his tongue. And it may be due to this fact that the very first place that the inner faults and inner vices actually will be exposed is the tongue. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has said, among the signs of Satan interfering with human activities is that he is scurrilous. He is not afraid of what he says and what is said about him.
Oh, first of the foremost, oh, last existence after the last. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins which tear away my safeguards. Oh, Allah, forgive me my such sins as would bring down calamity. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would change your favor. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins that would hinder my supplications. Oh Allah, forgive me my sins which descend misfortunes. Oh Allah, forgive my sins that suppress hope. Oh Allah, forgive every sin that I have committed and every error that I have earned. Oh Allah, I seek to draw myself nearer to you through your invocation. And I pray to you to intercede on my behalf. And I beg you by your benevolence to draw me nearer to you and grant thankfulness towards you and inspire me to remember and to invoke you. Oh Allah, I ask you begging submissively, humbly and awe-strickenly, to treat me with clemency and mercy, and to make me pleased and content with what you have granted me, and cause me to be modest and unassuming in all circumstances.
Imam Sadiq alayhi salam has affirmed al-bidha'u min al-jafa'. Abusive language is caused by rudeness, wal-jafa'u fi an-nar, and rudeness is placed in the fire. Of course, rudeness itself is not a thing or human being to be chastised and to be punished, but of course, the one who has this trait, the one who has this characteristic, is the one who will be placed in the fire of hell. We have in some traditions that say, من قال فحشا في أخيه المسلم, if one uses abusive language about his religious brother, رَفَعَ اللَّهُ مِنْ رِزْقِهِ الْبَرَكَةِ, Allah would remove blessings from his sustenance. وَأَوْكَلَهُ إِلَى نَفْسِهِ, and leave him to himself and destroy his life's conveniences. And of course, what removal of blessing is worse than our prayers not being accepted? That's why this factor is accounted as one of the important factors involved in hindering our supplications. Brothers and sisters, we are done with this part of the supplications. We have sufficiently discussed different factors involved in the hindrance of the supplications. Allahumma ighfir li adh-dhunuba allati tahbisu ad-du'a, Imam Ali alayhi salam says. Oh Allah, forgive me the sins which hold back supplication. Thank you for staying with us throughout all these programs. Wassalamu alaykum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Thank you, dear listeners of IRIB English, for listening to us. If you have any question regarding our programs, feel free to email us at englishradio@irib.ir. Also visit our website at parsetoday.com. Until the next program, take care and goodbye.
Iranian Radio, Global Mission. This is IRIB English Radio.
تمام ارزش ها و صفاتی که انسان احترام میگذاره همه این ارزش ها در علی ابن ابی طالب جمعه.
Human in general, whether a Muslim, non-Muslim, or even a disbeliever, respect the values present in the character of Ali ibn Abi Talib.
لا يقيم امر الله سبحانه الا من لا يصانع ولا يضارع ولا يتبع المطامع.
Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, the reason we love him as our hero, or not only in the material sense, in the spiritual sense, in the leadership sense.
Persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam in two
my brother.
Imam Ali alayhi salam, the most distinguished and extraordinary personality in Islam after the Holy Prophet Muhammad. His entire life is a struggle for the advancement of Islam, the universal religion prescribed by Allah for all of humanity. Imam Ali alayhi salam was the living miracle raised up by the Holy Prophet Muhammad himself, and was not only the successor and the executor of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, but as history testifies, he was also a great human being, a brave defender of Islam, a just and fair judge, a generous philanthropist, a champion of the people, and the most pious person of his time.
قال أمير المؤمنين علي عليه السلام إن الحق ثقيل مريء وإن الباطل خفيف وبيء.
Imam Ali said, "Certainly, right is weighty and wholesome, while wrong is light and epidemical."
Welcome back, dear friends. It's great to have you with us. This is IRIB English Radio, the programs to my brother, and we were discussing the universal persona of Imam Ali alayhi salam. So, dear brothers and sisters, it's interesting, but we will see in the history books that Imam Ali alayhi salam, he was the most powerful man of his time, and that Imam Ali alayhi salam was an individual who defended Islam, not only in the spiritual and theological and ideological aspects, but Imam Ali also protected and defended Islam via his sword, his physical prowess, his strength. Of course, it is unanimously agreed upon that it is Imam Ali alayhi salam who defended Islam and defended the Holy Prophet and defended the family of the Holy Prophet throughout his life in the various battles that occurred between Islam and the enemies of Islam.